Lord, for your presence. In a second, we can actually listen some of your words from the Bible. We pray, give us actually an open heart, Lord Jesus, to receive the seed of your word. Give us actually listening ears so we can understand, Lord Jesus, and then to implement your words in our daily life. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You all may be seated. Thank you. All right. Good afternoon, church. How are you all? We're going to actually learn from the three characters in the Bible, from three women in the Bible from the Old Testament. Now, you probably know all of them, but the Bible doesn't actually say too much about them. There is always be something that we can actually learn from them. The first woman that we are going to actually learn is Sarah. Sarah is Abraham's wife, as you probably know about the story about Sarah. The second woman is Rebecca. Rebecca is Isaac's wife, or you can say Rebecca is Abraham and Sarah's daughter-in-law. And the third woman that we are going to learn is Rachel. Rachel is Joseph's wife, which is Isaac and Rebecca's daughter-in-laws. All right, so we are going to actually learn from the three generation of women, and they're all the in-laws. All right, just like the movie, right? The in-laws. But anyway, so let's dive into that now. Although the Bible doesn't actually tell too much about them, but there are actually a few things that actually noted down in the Bible that we can learn. The first one, Sarah. What do we know about Sarah? Now, we all know the story that Sarah was barren. What is barren? Barren is she couldn't conceive. She couldn't actually have a child. And the Bible mentioned in the Genesis 11:30, now Sarah was barren. She had no child. Now we learn actually from the Bible that Sarah knew that she was barren. She couldn't have child. So she actually gave Hagar. Hagar is actually the servant of Sarah. So she gave Hagar to Abraham. Said that, hey Abraham, there you go. This is my maid. You can actually have her as a wife, as a second wife, hoping that if Hagar actually have a child, that child will be considered as Sarah's child. All right, and then so it happened, and then when Hagar actually start to conceive, the Bible said that Hagar looked down on Sarah. Hagar despised Sarah. You know, hey Sarah, look, I'm pregnant. You're not. And the funny thing is actually the Bible, after that, it actually mentioned like this. In the in Genesis 16, verse 1. Let me read from Genesis 16, 1 to 2. Now, I'm going to actually read from the Living Bible translation, all right? But Sarai and Abram had no children. So Sarai, at that time the name is Sarai, took her maid, an Egyptian girl named Hagar, and gave her to Abram to be his second wife. Since the Lord has given me no children, Sarah said, you may sleep with my servant girl, and her children shall be mine. And Abraham agreed. Okay, let's jump to Genesis 16, verse 5. This is after Hagar knew that she was conceived. Then Sarai said to Abraham, it is all your fault. For now, this servant girl of mine despises me, though I myself gave her the privilege of being your wife. May the Lord judge you for doing this for me. Now, if you actually read these two verses carefully, there is some contradicting here. The first one said that Sarah gave Hagar to Abraham to be the second wife. And then when things doesn't go wrong, when Hagar start to actually have start conceiving, but what Sarah didn't expect was actually Hagar despised Sarah. Hagar looked down on Sarah. She didn't expect that. When things go sour, then suddenly, Abraham, this is your fault. Now, if I were Abraham, I'll be asking, who gave Hagar to me? You did. So now things go wrong. Now you blame me. What did I do wrong? Now, that's actually what we usually do in our daily life, whether we realize or we don't realize it. We are easily shift the blame to other people. We are easily try to find a scapegoat. Why we do blaming to other people? Because it's easy to shift the blame to other people rather than actually to actually get the responsibility of what we are our wrongdoing. You know, we just do this as if like we don't even realize it. Students, you may be actually studying, and then let's say you fail. Then when your parents ask why you fail, nah, the material is way too hard. The teachers can't teach. You know, you just blame people other than you. You may be a professional, then you've been given an assignment and a due date, and you couldn't actually finish it by the due date. And then when the boss actually asks you, why did you finish it? Oh, I've got too much distraction from other people. Oh, no, I've been asked to actually do something else. And then you just keep on actually blaming other people rather than actually you, probably your poor time management. You're probably actually an owner of a company. You probably cheat on taxes. And then when you get caught by the tax man, said, well, why did you cheat on tax? Oh, the sales is very poor. I need to actually feed my family. Hey, everyone have to pay tax. Then you just blame the system rather than you pay. You are being actually full of your integrity for yourself. That's what Sarah did. When things doesn't actually go according to her plan, she blame others. Now, the Bible said mention about the this blaming things as quite a very, very old sin. In fact, blaming is actually the second sin after disobedience. When I say second in terms of sequence, you know, when God actually created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. And then the Adam and Eve was disobedient to God. They eat the forbidden fruit. And then God actually asked Adam, hey, Adam, why did you eat the forbidden fruit? What did Adam do? That woman gave it to me, rather than actually being accountable. And then when God actually asked Eve, hey, Eve, why did you give Adam the fruit? The serpent gave it to me. The snake gave it to me. And then this becoming a second nature, like we just keep on actually blaming people for things that we don't want to be responsible of. In another world, or in informal words, we're just being a coward, not wanting to actually take responsibility of what we say and what we do. That's about Sarah. Let's move on. How about Rebecca? Now, Rebecca, her husband was Isaac, all right? And Isaac and Rebecca, they have two kids, Esau and Jacob. From the very beginning, they have messed up in terms of actually growing their family. The way they actually they teach the kids were wrong. They have favorites. It mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 25:28. I'm going to actually read it from the the Living Bible. Isaac's favorite was Esau because the venison he brought home. And Rebekah's favorite was Jacob. You know, one thing that we can actually learn as parents, never actually have favorites unless you only have one son or one daughter. Then you should have favorite. So from the beginning, they have this issue, this parenting issue. And that happened, and then there was a story when Isaac becomes very, very old, and this is the time when he passed on the blessing to the firstborn. Now, that's the law. Lily corrected me this morning. So that was the law at that time. So the father will pass on the blessing to the firstborn and so on. Then when Isaac actually say, "Hey, Esau, go hunt an animal, cook me something, and then I'll eat it. Then I'll bless you." That conversation was overheard by Rebekah. And then this is what the Bible says. Genesis 27, 6 to 10. Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "I heard your father speak to your brother Esau. Bring me game and prepare me delicious food that I may eat it and bless you before the Lord before I die. Now therefore, my son," listen to this, "obey my voice as I command you. Go to the flock and bring me two good young goats so that I may prepare from the delicious food for your father, such as he loves, and you shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." Now, imagine this family, all right? So the mother was the mastermind of all the cheating that's happening in the family. The mother telling the second son to deceive the father and steal the blessing from the first son. It's a very interesting family. And then even in the Genesis 27:36 from the Living Bible, Esau said, "No wonder they call him being Jacob, no wonder they call Jacob the cheater, for he took my birthright and now he has stolen my blessing." Now, this is Jacob. He grew up in a family where they are cheating each other. And he grew up, as you know, there was a story when he actually cheated Esau and then took his birthright for a bowl of soup. And where did Jacob learn that? From the mother. And then we have to be very careful for us here, especially for us in that's actually holding certain roles. Parents, you have kids. Employers, boss, you have employees. Supervisors, life group leaders, pastors, whoever that's actually holds certain position. People look up to you. People imitate you. People take example from what you say and from what you do. You know what happened to Jacob? He was brought up in a family where there was favorites, right? Guess what? History repeats itself. He did the same thing to his own family. He's got 12 sons, and the Bible says he has a favorite. Who's the favorite? Joseph. He gave Joseph a good clothes, and the other 11 got nothing. And guess what happened to Joseph after that? Sold to the Egypt. Now, we may actually do this without we realize, but sometimes we do actually, we have to be very careful in what we say and what we do. The Bible says in the Titus 2, 7 to 8, "Show yourself in all respects to be a model, in other translation it said to be an example of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech. In other translation it said conversation that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Now, what we say and what we do, people will either take example, imitate us, or they may criticize us. Regardless, whatever the outcome, be a good role model. All right? Let's move on. The third lady, Rachel. Now, Rachel is the wife of Jacob. There are too many names in this sermon. I have to keep on remembering. Rachel is the wife of Jacob. Now, Jacob have four wives. Okay? Jacob have four wives. Leah, Rachel, and somebody by the name of Bilhah. Bilhah is actually the Rachel's servant. And the other one is Zilpah. Zilpah is Leah's servant. So he's got four wives. And then out of the four, they've got 12 sons and one daughter. A very busy family. Now, this is the story. This is the context. When Jacob married Leah and Rachel, the daughters of Laban, the first wife that started having kids was Leah. Now the Bible say Leah initially got four sons: Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. And then Leah stopped having kids. Now, apparently, there was a sibling rivalry between Leah and Rachel. They envy each other, especially if it is talking about kids. Who's got more kids? So after Leah's got four sons, then Rachel realized that she hasn't conceived. And then what she did is, she said, "Hey, Jacob, this is my servant, Bilhah. Now, take her as your wife, so if she has kids, then, at that culture, if she has kids, that will be considered as my own." All right? So by this time, so Jacob have three wives, all right, and then Bilhah. All right. So Bilhah actually gave Joseph two sons. They are Dan and Naphtali. So by this time, Jacob have three wives and six sons. All right. When Bilhah stopped having kids, and then Leah saw, "I'm not going to have more kids." Now, Rachel got two kids through her servant. "What I'm going to do? Hey, Jacob, I've got a mate here. I've got a servant named Zilpah. Take her as your wife so she can have kids, and then, you know, I can claim the kids." There you go. So by this time, Jacob have four wives, all right? So Leah, Rachel, Bilhah, Zilpah. And then Zilpah actually gave Jacob two more sons, which is Gad and Asher. All right, four wives and eight sons. By this time, everyone stopped having kids. Now, the Bible actually mentioned there was a small scenario. Let's read it from Genesis 30, 14 to 15. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. "One day, during the wheat harvest, Reuben is Leah's first son. Okay, Reuben found some mandrakes. Now, I asked my wife, what is mandrake? I don't know what's mandrakes, but in Indonesia, it's called buah dudaim. And I still don't know what is buah dudaim. But anyway, there are fruits. So Reuben found some fruits called mandrakes. Found some mandrake growing in a field and brought them to his mother, Leah. Rachel begged Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. But Leah angrily replied, wasn't it enough that you stole my husband? Now will you steal my son's mandrakes too? Rachel answered, I will let Jacob sleep with you tonight if you give me some of the mandrakes. Now again, history repeats itself. Rachel looked down the opportunity that she had to spend time with her husband. There'll always be another night. I can spend time with Jacob some other night next week or next month, or I don't know. They've got four wives. And she saw this quality time spending with Jacob is so little, and mandrakes is actually more valuable for her at that time. And this is the thing, though, if you read the Bible after that, and that night, Jacob slept with Leah, and Leah conceived. And then after that, not just that, then Leah conceived, have another two boys, which is Issachar and Zebulun, and then one daughter, which is Dinah. See, look, I don't know what's God's plan at that time, but if God, I'm just thinking out loud here, if God actually planned that night, that God actually want to actually give Jacob for another son, if only Rachel didn't just throw away her opportunity to spend time with Jacob, she may be the one that have sons. Maybe, I don't know. Because you have to remember, by that time, Rachel hasn't got any kids. What can we learn from here? Sometimes we take things for granted. That's just a small thing. Sometimes we don't value what we have or the opportunity that God has given us. Sometimes we think it's so small that it is not valuable. Well, we do this all the time. Maybe you are students. I don't need to study that. I know that back and forward. I'll be okay in exam tomorrow. I don't need to study that. Oh, I don't need to go to church this coming Sunday. There will always be another church service the following week. Or 2 weeks from today, or even next month. I don't need to pray before my ministry. God will bless me. God will bless people that I minister to. It's just a small thing. You see, sometimes we don't know the consequences of this looking down on things. We take things for granted, as if like we can live by it. And then what we don't realize, there is actually opportunity or blessing that God was planned to give you, and you just miss it. I remember the parables that Jesus actually gave to the disciples. There was a master that had three servants, and then he started to distributing the talents. So one person got five talents, the other person got two talents, and the third person got one talent. And Jesus said that, and the master said that, you know, work on this talent. And then when he came back, and then he will ask for the accountability. The first one from 5 becomes 10, from 2 becomes 4, and the 1 becomes 1. Because he didn't work on it. He buried the talent. The thing is, God takes value of even the small thing. Even though you were only given one talent, God still asks for accountability. You don't say that I only have one. You don't say that I only have a small one. I don't need to worry about it. Because from God's eye, whether you were given 5, 2, or 1, he will still expect a return. So what kind of opportunity, of what kind of actually belonging that you currently have, that you just, nah, that's worthless. I can live by it. Learn from Rachel. Don't waste opportunity that God actually gave you. Appreciate what God has given to you. Because God actually gives on purpose. He don't give things for nothing. He don't give for yeah, you just use it. There is always a purpose behind everything. All right? Now, let's continue. So that was that's Rachel. All right. Now, why do I actually tell you the story of these three ladies? All right? Let's tie these three stories together. Now, these three ladies got some similarities. Okay? The first one, which is a positive thing, they were all beautiful. Okay? So, Sarah, for example, in Genesis 12:11, it said, when he was about to enter Egypt, he said to Sarai, his wife, I know that you are a woman of beautiful in appearance. Sarah was beautiful. In fact, I shared this morning in the first session, when Sarah was 89 years old before she actually conceived Isaac, she was about to be taken by the Abimelech, the king of Gerar, to be his wife. That was 89 years old grandma, and somebody still wanted her to take her as a wife. And then what else? In Genesis 24:16, I'll read from NIV. This is about the Rebecca. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had ever slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. About Rachel, Genesis 29:17. Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful in form and appearance. So these three ladies got the same X factors. They were all beautiful. Now, that's not just the similarities. There are others. Do you know that all these three ladies, they were all barren? They were all cannot conceive child. They were all by nature were unable to have kids. We probably know about Sarah, okay? We read about the verse before. In Genesis 11:30, it says, now Sarai was barren. She had no child. Let's talk about Rebecca. Genesis 25, verse 21. And Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Talking about Rachel, Genesis 29:31. When the Lord saw Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Now, this is the interesting thing. These three ladies, these three generations of ladies, they were all barren. The interesting bit is, wasn't it contradict to what God has promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? His promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through you, you will have descendants, as many as the sand in the seashores and as many as the star in the sky. But their wives were barren. That just doesn't make sense. Did God actually make a mistake? The thing is, we learn from these three ladies, well, yes, they had positive things. They have positive values. But they were not perfect. They make mistakes just like us. They were not flawless. In fact, talking about physical things, they were imperfect. They were barren. And yet, God used them to fulfill His promise. Through them, they will bear children, and the children becomes the tribe of Israel. Let's translate this into our lives. We were all like these three women. Yes, we have positive values. We've got a good thing. Some of you probably beautiful, handsome, smart, neat, diligent. But none of us are perfect. We commit sins, we make mistakes, we got angry, we got pissed off. There were a lot of times in my personal life, before I know that I will be ministering in whatever capacity that I have, that I feel unworthy, that I felt not holy enough, that I felt not clean enough because I just did something wrong yesterday, because I was committing sins, or because I hate people, because I was angry at people, because I don't know, I cheat, probably I lied. And there were times like that where I just think, God, if I minister you tomorrow or next week, will you accept my ministry? Will you think that my ministry is good enough? Well, the fact that through God's grace and mercy, we were made whole by Him. Because if we only actually expect our perfection, then there will be no one at all. Then there will be no Sarah, no Rebecca, no Rachel that can conceive the kids. Now, this is the thing, though. In Romans 5:8, I'm reading this from NIV. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You know that God's grace and mercy came to us while we were still sinners. There is no expectation that you have to be fully perfect before you can minister to God. There's no more excuse. Last week, Pastor Agus actually preached about sometimes God actually put some bad ingredients in our life. He just didn't actually put a good stuff. Sometimes He, put a bit of bad things, bad situation, bad circumstances in our life to make us grow. Talking about Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel, they had bad ingredients. They were not perfect. They were barren. Now, how about us? Oh, I'm not as smart as my friends in uni, in my class. My other friends are way, way better. Oh, I'm not good enough. My English is not very fluent. I can't get that job. I can't get that promotion. Oh, my talent is so small, very insignificant. I can't sing. I can't play piano. How can I minister in the church? I can't be an usher. You know, when you shake people, you are shaking yourself. Because you're so afraid, you know, meeting people, then you shake yourself. The thing is, despite our lackness, despite our flaw, God's mercy is in us. His mercy is way than sufficient. His grace is way more than sufficient. Talking about classic example, Nick Fujikic doesn't have limb, doesn't have arms, and God used him in a mighty way. Talking about being, you know, unable to conceive, well, this guy doesn't have anything. But in God's eye, and probably in his eyes now, it would be much better for him in this situation where he can bless so many people globally, rather than he's got two limbs, two hands, four, physically perfect, and just be an ordinary person at the corner of the building. We may be like Sarah. Every now and then we probably blame others. We may be like Rebecca. Maybe our life is full of cheating. Maybe we lie here and there without we even actually notice. Maybe that becomes our second nature. Or we may be like Rachel. We don't appreciate things. We look down on things. We take for granted a lot of things that we have, the opportunity that God actually given us. But remember this, while we are working on all this issue, you're not working by yourself. There is God with you. With His full mercy and grace, He will guide you. Get your hands. Come with me. Let's be more like Jesus every day. And remember, whatever state that you are in, as long as you have a good heart, the right heart, you acknowledge your wrongdoing, repent, move forward, God can use you. There is a possible, maybe, just maybe, there is a reason why God actually allow you to still have flaw, to still have, insignificant, to have your, you can't do this, you are not good enough doing this. Maybe He actually created that way, so you have the opportunity to see He works in you. Maybe it's for you to see the opportunity that there is a miracle in you. Just like Sarah, Rebecca, and Rachel. I'm going to actually close with this verse. Isaiah 42 verse 3a. Now this is the word of God that was given to Isaiah. And this word is actually a prophecy for Jesus. And then it says like this. He will not break the bruised reed, nor quench the dimly burning flame. Now, I shared this morning that I rarely use this verse, because to me initially that this verse is very poetic. You know, it's not a very straightforward message. But I want you to imagine this. When he said he will not, he being Jesus, Jesus will not break the bruised reed. Now imagine this. Reed is like a piece of bamboo or a piece of wood. Imagine you have a piece of bamboo, right? And then you break it. Now, sometimes that piece of bamboo doesn't always break into two. Sometimes, you know, that it's kind of like hanging like that because there are some fiber that's still holding these two pieces, you know, and then you can't stand it, you just want to tear them apart. You know, when you break things, you know, just hanging there. But the word say, Jesus will not break it. And he said that if there is a candle and there is a light on the candle, but it's a very, very dim light, it's a very, very small flame, he will not just blow it away because it's so small. He will keep that. Now, that's good news for all of us. Our life may not necessarily like a one straight bamboo piece. Maybe we are at the stage where it's already broken and we're just hanging there. And then if I were God, I would just break it up. But anyway, God didn't do that. And then Jesus will keep that, nurture it, make it whole through his blood. Okay? God bless you all.
Church, let us all stand up.
Face toward you and he gave his peace. I will bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great Sunday.